Well, good morning once again. I invite you to bow your heads with me as we prepare our hearts to reflect on God's Word this morning. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for today. We thank you for this time in your presence as we prayed earlier, but we also thank you, Lord, that as we gather, we have the opportunity to reflect upon your Word, and we also have the opportunity to hear from you as you speak to us from that Word even today. And we pray, Lord, that as we listen, that's exactly how we would listen, recognizing that Scripture is your word, that it's breathed from your mouth. And so what we find in it is absolutely true. So again, open our hearts to your word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning is a day recognized as Sanctity of Life Sunday, as Chris Ault mentioned a little while ago. And you notice that likely, again, because of our announcement, because of the insert that you find in your bulletin this morning. And this is also why we do collect baby supplies each January for the First Choice Clinic in Bismarck. And related to this day, there's something important that I think we need to consider. And I think this is something that might stretch you quite a bit today. So at least hear me out. Now, I'm not going to stand up here this morning and give you the typical abortion is bad sermon, okay? We all know that's true. I hope you all know how I feel about that subject. Based on Scripture, I think it's wrong in all circumstances. I don't think there's an opportunity where it is right. But this morning, I'm going to talk about something a little bit different that's related. I want to talk about our attitude when it comes to children. Now, this is something that it's pretty personal to me because it's something I've dealt with in my own life. You know, something I can and testify to you about. My own attitude went through a change several years ago, and I never realized that I had what I consider to be an improper attitude when it came to children, until I already had three of them myself. Now, you know, speaking for myself, I always wanted children, and just as Sherry and I were getting married, we did like most couples did. We sat down, we talked about our future, as most couples do. And in the course of these discussions, we both said that, you know, our own thoughts and plans and dreams, we think we would like to have two or three children. We want to have at least one boy, one girl, you know, but, you know, three would probably be our maximum. And that's a pretty common mindset today, I think. It seems that it's shared by most young couples. If they can have one of each, you know, that's where they're willing to call it good. And for us, our family, it makes sense considering our background. Once my parents had one of each, they were done having kids. I was the baby of the family. They were done having kids. Dad was 25. Mom was 22. I don't know what feelings Sherry's parents had towards kids, but once again, I came from a family with one boy and one girl, and she came from a family with one boy and one girl. Now, we got married. Like I said, it was back in 2001, July of 2001. And not long after that, in fact, it was about a month after we were married, Sherry became pregnant with Rachel. 2 years later, Caleb came along. So at that point, we did have our one of each. But even with our one of each, we decided to go ahead and have that third. And 2 years later, Grace was born. However, once we hit three, something changed. I'm not entirely sure what prompted it. At the time, I chalked it up to the fact that my wife had a Catholic upbringing. But all of a sudden, she wanted more, and I didn't. I was perfectly content with the three that we had, and that was the plan, right? That's what we had agreed upon. But we began to talk about things. I began to pray about things. I don't know this for sure. I'm willing to bet it's true. I'd put money on it. I bet my wife was praying that my attitude would change. I began talking with other pastors about this subject. I began searching the Scriptures on this subject. And in the process, God changed my heart. Now, toward the end of this process, Sherry announced that she was pregnant with our fourth child. So having just experienced this change of heart, I was happy about it. It was mid-January. At that time, our AFLC pastors' conferences were held in January. They always sent us to Wisconsin when it was 20 below in January. But I was on my way up there, and again, I was happy. I was rejoicing about it with the other pastors. But when I got back, we were disappointed. Sherry went in for her regular checkup and found the baby no longer had a heartbeat. The baby was no longer alive. And because of that, they said, well, you're probably going to have a miscarriage at any point here, so just be expecting that to happen. But it never came. So a couple of weeks after that, Sherry had to go in and have a DNC just to prevent infection. The baby didn't come out on its own. So not too long after that, Sherry became pregnant with Lizzie, and the rest is history. You know, even though we had several miscarriages along the way, here we are, you know, we have 6 kids. Now, having a bigger family, you can easily see this attitude that I'm referring to in the reaction we get from other people. When we're out and about, you'll be amazed what people say, the looks that they give you. There is just an amazement from people that we have this number of kids. And even though it was very common a generation ago, most of you can look back and 5, 6, 7, 8 kids, that wasn't all that uncommon. Today, that's something that's very, very rare. We've had people stop us when we're out and about around town or, you know, in Grand Forks when we lived out there in Bismarck, and they ask all kinds of questions, and here's a few of them. They ask us, first of all, are all those kids yours? No, we're having a sleepover, and we just decided to go shopping with everybody. You know, but quite often they joke about it. Do you know how this happens? Right? You've all heard that one. They've asked if we have other hobbies. They've asked if we're trying to get our own TV show. Right? Of course, they comment that we must have a very busy house, as if, you know, yeah, that's needless to say. And there's even some that are quite rude. You know, I remember a family friend who, after we put Sarah's picture up on Facebook, you know, posted underneath that picture, "I hope you're done now." And I have to admit, I had trouble biting my tongue after I read that comment. That had me pretty upset. In the AFLC, and I think some of you have noticed this, many of our pastors have larger families. And so too do many of the couples who went to our Bible school, and they met, and they married, and they graduated. And it's led some people to ask, what is in the drinking water down at our Bible school and our seminary? That's kind of what we're going to talk about today. Now, it seems that back in my parents' generation, the whole thought process about marriage and children shifted. And it seems that a big factor leading to this was, first of all, the availability and the improved methods of birth control, okay? We went from the baby boomer generation, where all these guys come home from the war and we have a whole, you know, big, huge generation of babies being born into our country, to a plummeting birth rate in the United States and in other first world countries as well. Now, it used to be assumed that if you were married, you would have kids. And the only thing that would prevent this is, of course, if you have fertility issues. There were women and men who had issues with that back then, just as there are today. But today, in our time, in our day and age, it's no longer assumed. Now, it's a question, right? Now we decide whether or not we'll have kids. Today, we hear about couples that are childless by choice. And of course, we decide how many kids we will have. Now, of course, every once in a while, there's a monkey wrench that gets thrown in there. But generally, we decide how many we'll have. And a number of factors go into these decisions. One factor is age, right? People will say, first of all, well, I'm too young to have kids. And so they put it off until they're at an age where they think it's more appropriate. They believe that they're too young for the responsibility. And this is even some of the reasoning why some people choose abortion, because they think they're too young to have kids. Quite often, women will choose against having kids because it interferes with their career aspirations. They have lofty career goals for themselves professionally, and that's good, but they know that if you have a child, it's going to make it much more difficult to achieve those professional goals. And we have to admit, it does do that. That's absolutely true. People often choose against having children or limit the number of children because of the financial considerations that go along with it. They know, just like all of us, it's expensive to have a child, right? It's expensive to raise a child. They know, as I mentioned a moment ago, that having kids, it does interfere with your ability to bring home more money. And they want to live the good life. They don't want a child or too many children getting in the way of that. So my point this morning is this. As you look at the attitude that's changed in our nation, no longer are kids really viewed as a blessing. They're viewed at best as a choice, and they're viewed at worst as an inconvenience and a nuisance. Now, this might sound a little bit harsh, but again, bear with me for a moment. Today, we tend to look at children a little bit like we look at pets. And what I mean by this is that, you know, just like with pets, we think that, you know, if people want them, they should have them. But if people don't want them, they should not have them. If they don't want the responsibility, they should not have them. And of course, if they don't want a child, we think they should do everything necessary to prevent it, other than remaining single or abstaining, of course. Now, you may disagree a little bit with what I'm saying. After all, people today, they still always say, well, children are a blessing, right? We hear that phrase thrown around all the time. But regardless of what we say, so often, our attitude doesn't reflect that truth. Our lives, in fact, show the exact opposite. And again, I can say that because it was true of me in the past as well. Their comments about children, the comments they make about large families reflect this attitude. Their extreme efforts to control the size of their family reflect this attitude. And it's this attitude that leads to so many abortions in our nation today. So essentially, if we're going to stop the practice of abortion, if we're going to end the killing of our children here in this nation, the first thing that must happen is our hearts have to be changed. The places where this battle are going to be won, it's not going to be with the president, it's not going to be with Congress, it's not going to be with the governor or the state legislature. The place this battle will be won is in our hearts, if we truly believe that children are a blessing. Now, throughout Scripture, we see a very different attitude regarding kids than what we see in our society today. And this is ultimately where I found myself convicted. And this is the attitude that's expressed in our lesson that was read for you this morning. And again, in Psalm 127, we read this. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He will not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. And so as we look at this passage, and we're going to see some other things as well, but as we look at it, we see that children are not viewed as a problem, right? They're not viewed as an inconvenience or a nuisance, and they certainly aren't looked upon as a choice. They're a blessing. They're a heritage from the Lord. They're a reward. Now, some people, you know, sometimes people will dive too much into this passage, and they sit there in the debate, well, what is a full quiver, you know? And I've had people do that. I've looked up what a quiver means in ancient Hebrew, and it says that six kids is a full quiver. So I have a full quiver, apparently. And I've had people come to me, and they say, well, Pastor, what is a full quiver? And being somebody who's done some bow hunting, I always ask, well, are you talking about a bow-mounted quiver, or are you talking about the one that you wear on your belt? You know, it could be a little bit different there. But you see, when the psalmist talks about a full quiver, the point isn't a certain number. It's not related to a number at all. Because when you're in a battle, that's kind of the picture that's being used here, and it's true when you're out hunting, the more arrows, the better, right? The point he's making is that the one who is blessed is the one who has many children. Now today, even though we'll say, again, that children are a blessing, we tend to think that, you know what, you can have too much of a good thing, right? In other words, even though children are a blessing, you can have too many. And that's why we cringe when we hear about couples having too many children. Sherry and I were in that boat. I remember when we first were married and we moved from San Diego to DeKalb, Illinois, and we were moving into the parsonage, and they told us, well, the pastor who was here before you, when they left, they had six kids. And we're like, six kids? Now they have 10. 10? You know, it was just something we couldn't even fathom at the time. But there we go. We caught up to them at least where they were when we got there. But again, we consider often that people have too many of them. And this is true even among Christians, even among those of us in the church. I remember very well how deflated Sherry was in one of our churches when she overheard a woman criticizing their former pastor. The former pastor and his wife, they had just sent a birth announcement to the church. And as I mentioned, I don't know, they were up to 9 or 10 at the time, but they sent this birth announcement, and she heard this member complaining. She was complaining about the fact that, wow, they have too many kids, and churches just can't afford pastors when they have such a large family. Now, my wife at the time was recently pregnant. And hearing this attitude, you know what? She was reluctant to tell our congregation about it after hearing that attitude expressed, and understandably so. Why would you want to announce your pregnancy if you thought it might be criticized? Why would you want to announce it if you didn't feel that the people who heard were going to rejoice along with you? And our own families have also displayed this attitude. My family, they've never seemed to understand why we haven't done more to prevent pregnancy in our marriage. Sherry's dad has expressed similar thoughts, and at times it has made us reluctant to share the good news with our families, because even though we were happy about it, we didn't feel that they were going to rejoice along with us. Now, some people, as they look at this psalm that we're reading this morning, they insist, well, the words of this psalm are not a general truth. They only reflect the attitude that people had back in that day. Back then, we were told, you know, well, people, they needed a large family. They didn't have those pesky child labor laws back then, and you could put those kids to work, right? And the same thing is true in our own nation if you go back a couple of generations. The more kids you had, well, the more acres you could farm. And kids were cheap help. You didn't have to pay them. All you had to do was feed them, right? And so they say that's why you had a lot of kids. Others point out that back then people had a lot of kids because the death rate was higher. It was much more common for children to die of sicknesses that today they're no big deal. And so having a lot of kids ensured that your whole family wouldn't eventually die off. Others say that parents had a lot of kids back then, so they would be taken care of in old age. I've teased my own kids about that, by the way. But in those days, there weren't nursing homes, right? There were no corporate pensions. There wasn't Social Security. There were no 401ks. People lived from day to day. And so when you could no longer work, what happened? Well, you were dependent upon your family. In fact, you were dependent upon your kids to take care of you. And while it's true that years ago, people did put their children to work, while it's true that back then the death rates were higher, while it's true that back then kids were a source of provision for their parents as they got to old age, nowhere do we see that this was the reason for their attitude concerning children. I think this is merely an attempt by some to interpret Scripture based on our understanding rather than the other way around. The reason kids were valued, as we see in the psalm, is because they were truly believed to be a blessing from God. And we see all throughout Scripture that kids are considered to be a blessing. We can generally see it in the attitude people have had back then toward the childless. In biblical times, it was literally a disgrace for a woman if she had no children. Because they were seen as a blessing from God, those who were unable to conceive were seen to be missing out on God's blessing. Now, I'm not saying that attitude was right all the time either. I think it was taken to an extreme. I don't think it's right for us to assume that just because a woman is unable to have children that they're under God's curse. But we do see several examples of this attitude throughout Scripture. We see the examples of those who were distraught because of their inability to have children. We see how they were looked down upon by others. And a couple of places we see it are in the examples of Rachel and Hannah in the Old Testament. Hannah, as you may remember, she was the mom of Samuel eventually. But we read at the beginning of her story how she was criticized by her husband's other wife because she was childless. We also see how Rachel struggled when her sister was bearing children for their husband and she was unable to conceive. And we see how these two women ended up competing to see who could have the most kids, who could build the biggest family for their husband. We see in the case of Abraham that God's blessing involved making him into a great nation with descendants too numerous to count. So again, many children were viewed as a blessing from God. And nowhere do we see, nowhere are we told that children are a burden. We also see it directly stated for us that kids are a blessing in several passages throughout the Bible. For example, in Leviticus 26, God told the people of his blessing if they remained faithful to him. And here's what he said to them. Oops, I've been skipping my slides. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. I will turn to you and make you fruitful and multiply you and will confirm my covenant with you. So once again, we see that one of the blessings that God was going to bestow upon the people was to cause them to be fruitful and to multiply them. We see another example of this in Psalm 128, starting in verse 1, which says, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table." And so once again, we see that the man who is blessed by God is given children. His wife is a fruitful vine with all of these little olive shoots seated around the table. And we also remember the command that God gave to Adam and Eve in Genesis 1 in verse 28. "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And we see this command not only here, but twice in Genesis 9, God gave the same command to Noah. Now the question, it's asked by many people today, if now that the world is filled with people, this command is no longer valid. But I think that's a pretty difficult argument to defend biblically. I would maintain that this is still a part of our God-given responsibility. So the question that I have as we think about this topic is this. When did having kids shift from being a blessing to a choice? When did it shift from being a blessing to being a burden? And as I mentioned earlier, part of it, yes, it is due to the availability and the improved methods of birth control. Some would say it has to do with the advent of the television and Facebook, because now we have other things to do with our time. But another contributing factor seems to be wealth. The more we have, the more we want, right? And we'll do anything to have more, even if it means turning away from a great blessing of God. And this is something that we see as we look at the world as a whole. You know, most of the third world nations, what are they doing? They're still having lots of kids, even though they're poor. They're having lots of kids, but the wealthiest nations are the ones that are having fewer and fewer. You see, we often view a certain lifestyle, we begin to view a certain economic status as a greater blessing than children. We value the ability to do what we want when we want as a greater blessing than children. We want to be able to relax. We want to be able to have peace and quiet without the annoyance and the inconvenience of kids. And again, I can testify to that. There are times I'm sitting at home and I have to remind myself, yes, these kids are a blessing, right? Have to remind ourselves. We also want to travel, right? We want to travel the world. We want to have nice toys. We want to be able to do what we want without all of the disruption of kids around. Now, some may argue that not only are children a blessing from God, but so too are wealth and possessions. There's one of those blessings. And sorry, Anna, but we do love the kids, and I understand. So, but people will say that not only are kids a blessing, but so is your job, so is your material wealth, right? And that's true. Those things are also blessings from God. But let me ask you this question, okay? Would we ever go to God and tell him, God, you know what, thank you, but you've given me enough. You don't need to give me any more money. Would we ever go to God and say, God, thank you for all of your blessings, but you've taken me far enough in my professional life. Just leave me where I'm at. Would we do that? Would we ever go to God and tell him, well, God, you know, you've given me this many years. You've blessed me with enough life in this world, so you don't need to give me anymore. No, we would never do any of those things. We would never try to limit God in any of these other areas. It seems that the only area in life where we strive to limit God's blessing is when it comes to children. Now, let me clarify, because I don't want you to misunderstand me here this morning. I'm not telling you that you need to go home and breed like rabbits, okay? I'm not telling you we need another baby boom here at Prince of Peace, although that's okay. We can always use more Sunday school classes coming up. And I'm not trying to tell you that you all need to be like the Duggars on that 19 kids in counting show. That's not what I'm trying to tell you today. But what I'm trying to tell you is that maybe, just maybe, we have the wrong attitude if we are actively refusing God's blessing. Maybe we are having a wrong attitude if we are doing everything within our power to resist this blessing of children that God wants to bestow. Again, I think it reveals a problem in our heart and even a problem that we have within our society. As I mentioned earlier, this attitude towards children, it greatly influences our attitude also towards abortion. If we value wealth more than children, then guess what? We're going to choose wealth over children. If we value our independence over children, guess what? We're going to choose independence over children. And we'll do whatever is necessary to maintain and to preserve that which is most important to us in life. And so even if you are pro-life, even if you find abortion to be something that is absolutely detestable, my question for you is this: what's your attitude towards kids? And I ask you that because it's this attitude that'll truly determine where we stand when it comes to life issues. As we can see in Scripture, children are a blessing from God. And as blessings of God, they are not something that should be refused. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for today, and we do thank you for the blessings that you've given to each one of us, to each family that's here. We thank you for our kids. We thank you for our grandkids, and we do praise you for what a blessing they are in our life. However, Lord, we do acknowledge that, yes, at times we do fail to have a proper attitude towards kids. There are times in life where, Lord, we view other things as more important than them. We selfishly just want to live our own life without the responsibility that comes along with them. And we pray, Lord, that you would work in us, that you would change our hearts so that we truly view and understand children as what they are. This is a blessing from your hand. Help us to love them, Lord. Help us to do everything that we can to raise them to know you. But work in our hearts so that we truly view kids as a blessing, and so that that attitude spreads not only among us in the church, but that it also spreads throughout our entire society. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.